Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in your incarnation, you took the lowest place among us, that we might be raised to the heights of your throne. We would seek to be lowly and humble, a learner of thee. Amen. Some years ago, a car that was once owned and driven by Her Majesty the Queen was sold at auction for £40,500. The Daimler limousine even featured a specially designed handbag holder. So whoever bought that car, they paid a great deal of money to sit in the seat of royalty. And we can understand that very human desire to get the best seat possible. Whether we are attending a concert or the cinema or in a restaurant, we may seek very carefully to find a good seat for our place. We want to be in a comfortable position, and we don't want anyone else to be in our way. And yet, we find in our gospel reading from Luke 14, Jesus is very quick to challenge this human nature. And Jesus challenges us this evening through his example. Luke sets the scene for us. It's mealtime. And we remember that Luke has more mealtime scenes than any of the other Gospels, reminding us that Jesus loved to share hospitality and food. One Bible commentator helpfully describes for us the background of this setting when they wrote, "A dinner with guests is an occasion of social importance, to which people of one's class are invited, and where there is an implied sharing of values and ideas. The status and rank of individuals are legitimated by their inclusion in the guest list and their location on the seating plan." For Luke's readers, meals are also symbols for the breaking in and anticipated rule of God. In the previous chapter 13, we hear of people coming from east and west, north and south, to eat in the kingdom of God. The Lord's table becomes a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. End of quote. Holding on to this background understanding, in the foreground, we now picture Jesus in attendance at a meal in the home of a leading Pharisee. They were watching Jesus closely. They watched closely as, unexpectedly, on the Sabbath day, Jesus heals a man with dropsy, a nasty swelling of the skin, which could make the face look bloated. This unclean man was certainly not on the guest list. This episode was meant to be, come dine with me, not embarrassing bodies. But there he is, and Jesus's compassion and mercy cut across those social norms. And Jesus didn't care much for airs or graces. He had no favourites. He was happy to socialise with the Pharisee and the one considered on the fringe alike. An opportunity had presented itself to Jesus. He could heal this man's dropsy, and he could heal the Pharisee's cold heart. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? In other words, is it counted as work? If so, Jesus would be violating the Sabbath laws. How would the Pharisees respond? Well, they would get themselves tied up in knots, trying to apply the written law for the contemporary situation. They were silent. They could not respond to Jesus. It was a guilty silence. So, taking hold of the man, Jesus healed him and sent him on his way. No fuss, no drama. And to drive his point home, Jesus asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? Jesus's logic is simple. If it is right to help children who had a very low status in that day, and if it was right to help animals on the Sabbath, how much more was it the right thing to do to heal that man, made in God's image? They had nothing to say. They were left speechless. They were watching Jesus closely, but in reality, Jesus was watching them even closer. He saw as they arrived how the guest would jockey with each other to get the best couches at the meal table. And he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't go and sit in the best seat in case some other guest more important arrives. And the person who invited you comes and says, please move down the line, move down the table for this man. And you will go to the end of the queue, covered in embarrassment. Instead, when someone invites you, go and sit at the lowest place. And then when your host arrives, he will say, good friend, move up higher. Then all your fellow guests will show you respect. All those who push themselves forward will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be honored. Perhaps Jesus had in mind those words of Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7, which read, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. But is there a deeper meaning to what Jesus is saying? You see, the Pharisees were convinced that they were at the top of the tree, that they had pride of place, the best seats, and often they would push themselves forward, eager to show how well they were doing in keeping God's law and maintaining their purity. They saw themselves as superior in God's sight to the poor and the uneducated, superior to the unclean and the unlovely. In their minds, their status meant that they could pull rank and expect the best places, the top table on earth and in heaven. But as we see, God's guest list looks radically different, all inclusive. Outsiders become insiders. And the poor, who could never reciprocate such a dinner invitation, find a feast is set before them. And pride and pretension are excluded. God's family table has room for everyone. But this is not the office party. Nobody is obliged to attend. It is a personal invitation that comes to each one of us. So Jesus concludes by telling them, when you next give a lunch or supper, don't invite just your friends or family or relatives or your rich neighbours. They might ask you back and you would be repaid. Instead, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And God will bless you, for they will have no way to repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The host is being urged to cross a big boundary, to invite the unclean into their home, and offer hospitality that can never be repaid, at least in this life. And what follows in Luke's gospel is the parable of the great banquet. But that parable is for another day. We leave this scene with the challenge not to always seek the best for ourselves, but to follow the example of Jesus. As St. Paul put it, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. He became a humble servant. So Jesus invites us to exchange the thrusting of the elbow for the bending of the knee. Can we, in this week, give way a little more? Can our legalism be swallowed up with love for the poor and the lost? in this new month, this new Methodist year, this new season of service. Let us keep on offering God's gracious invitation. Let us keep on practicing generous hospitality, sharing what we have, giving without expecting to have the favor returned. And as we take our place at God's table today and share in bread and wine, may it be for us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. And one day we will discover that a seat at the King's table is worth far more than a seat in the Queen's Daimler. Amen.